A podcast that shines a light on the positive, healthy, hopeful projects going on in Humboldt County. We'll talk about things that are happening to help everyone live a better life and what things you can do in your corner of the world. Look, we know about the problems. We talk about them, read about them in the news, and see it every day too. That's what drives us to want better and to be part of the good. My name is Juliette Ferry, and I will be your host of the Humboldt Healthcast, which is another community project of the Humboldt IPA here in Eureka. It might surprise you to know that social connections are one of the greatest predictors of health, happiness, and longevity. Growing research indicates that social isolation can have negative impacts on our health that are comparable to the impacts of smoking two packs of cigarettes a day. Social isolation and loneliness increase a person's likelihood of early death of all causes and are linked to higher rates of depression, anxiety, and suicide. Recent studies estimate that well over one-third of Americans feel extremely lonely. So after what was arguably the loneliest collective year in our global history, how do we begin to recover old friendships and create new ones? What does it mean to not be alone in our loneliness? And how can building connections improve our health and our communities? In this episode, I will be talking to Robin Baker, who is the outreach coordinator and medical social worker at the Priority Care Center in Eureka. And we will discuss the role of friendships and what they have played in our lives and the ways we are building new friendships after the pandemic. Hi, Robin.
Hi, Juliet.
Thanks for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thank you. I am excited to talk about friends.
Yes. What would you say, you know, in this first question, you can kind of give a little background of what you do at the Priority Care Center and the Humboldt IPA, but what are you seeing in your work that highlights the importance of making friends and friendships?
Yeah, absolutely. So I have been with the Priority Care Center just for 1 year and came on to do outreach around social determinants of health, which probably we've mentioned on the podcast at different times. One of those social determinants of health is social connections and how lonely or connected people are feeling. And so we did this outreach, a team of interns and I, over the last year via phone. And we were calling people who didn't know who we were. They probably weren't familiar with the IPA or the Priority Care Center, and asking them questions about food, housing, you know, did they have enough money to pay for utilities, things like that. And we were asking people, you know, how often are you talking with friends or loved ones? You know, how are you feeling in terms of connections to others? And that was the question that got the most response in terms of need, both in the phone calls and in the text outreach that we did. A lot of people were talking about being lonely. So sometimes the response to that would be just our team calling people every few weeks and checking in. So we heard all sorts of things from people. I mean, again, these are people who didn't know us, didn't really know who the Priority Care Center was before we called. And they would tell us about, you know, their pets, what they were baking, their gardens, their whole history. And it was just really beautiful, the amount of vulnerability people were willing to offer up with complete strangers on the phone. And the way that those phone calls were things that people would look forward to. So we would end the calls and people would say, you know, we would ask, can we call you in 2 weeks? And they would say, yes, I'm looking forward to it. And as those relationships went on, people would sometimes eventually say, no, you don't need to call me anymore. Or we would link them with a therapist or with wellness coaching, which has been great for so many people. So I'm curious how you've seen that playing out in the coaching world.
Yeah, I was always so impressed that, like you're saying, people so vulnerable to even at the first thought of hearing, you know, a chat bot and like having people receive texts anonymously from an organization that may not even, they don't even know what we do or who we are, and to reply. And like you're saying, these vulnerable responses of saying like, yeah, I am feeling really lonely. And so one of the people that comes to mind was a connection that you had made through the calls, and that sadly this person was contemplating suicide. They were contemplating self-harm. And so, and their response to replying to the chatbot was like, I just wanted to see what would happen. You know, I kind of thought it was like a joke in a way, but this person was at such a low point in their life that it kind of didn't matter to them whether it was a joke or not. And so we've made a good connection, this person and myself, and then also connected this person with therapy. And so, you know, with some lifestyle and some, you know, connecting with their provider, you know, that's why it's such a beautiful team we have at the Priority Care Center. Everybody's working together. So that's what I have noticed of, like, in addition to the other types of calls where we're just working on, you know, lifestyle stuff, like increasing your physical activity and, you know, getting better sleep and managing stress, all those things, you know, they're all, they're very boring things that are like, they're not changing, you know, eat healthier, move more, get better sleep, drink water. They're not earth shattering things, but when you can connect with someone and like you're saying, have that phone call to check in, you know, it's the connection and the guidance to get to those health goals.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. I appreciate you sharing that story.
What would you say is, like, since this is an episode on, you know, loneliness, and at the end we'll be talking about ways to increase social connection and friendships, how has the pandemic changed your view of your friendships and just connection in general?
It's been a year. It's been an interesting time.
Right. Yes.
And I moved in the middle of that. So I moved home, what I consider home, here to Humboldt, after being in Colorado for 2 years, but I moved from Durango and I was only there for 6 months. And so I had, you know, some community there, but nothing compared to the depth of community that I have here in Humboldt. But moving back, you know, I was able to go out on walks with a lot of friends and see people outdoors. But my past social self in Humboldt, I was very much like a connector of people. I brought large groups of people together, and, you know, was always inviting people to all sorts of different things. I had a weekly, ironically enough, podcast group that got together every Thursday for a couple of years, and that ranged from 12 to 20 plus people, and we would share food and, you know, talk about things we were excited about. And of course, you know, for the past year, that those sorts of things haven't been an option. And so I've really shifted to more solitary activities, reading a lot, going on walks, still listening to podcasts, but by myself, a lot of phone calls, I think like a lot of us. And so coming out of that and trying to rekindle friendships and imagine being in groups, I don't know how it's been for you, but being with more than a couple people at a time still is a little bit overwhelming in terms of like taking in a lot of different stimulus. So I'm just trying to remind myself that when we went in to quarantine and social distancing, that was difficult and it took time. And so coming out is going to be difficult and feel strange, and it's going to take time.
Yeah. I love that. It's so right. It's like, this has been a marathon. One of the authors and podcasters that I follow, Dr. Lisa Damore, has said that same thing, as far as like, this has been a marathon. And like, what you do after a marathon is like, you don't run another marathon, you rest. And so it's like, you're compassionate with yourself. And so that's what I keep reminding myself, is like the little awkwardnesses that I feel of like not remembering small talk or shaking hands. It's like, do we do that now or we don't? Like getting close to people in line. It's like, I don't know. Like, I'm still wearing a mask in places where I don't even need to be wearing one, because that's just where I'm at right now. Like over time, I know I'll slowly lose the mask in places where it's fine. But for right now, I just, it's hard to let those things go. And so for me, friendships, they've always been really important to me. And now it's like, it's like almost embarrassing how I ever took them for granted. You know, it's just like getting together with people or letting friendships kind of slide over time, just because that's what happens when people get busy and, you know, people have different responsibilities, whether it's kids or work or their spouse or whatever, just going through depression, whatever. And so it's just in February, I did this, it was a writing challenge to write a letter every day, a handwritten letter or card or something every day for the month of February. And so it's the first time I've done it. I made it about halfway through or maybe three quarters of the way. And it was so great to write letters and to really connect with people on that deeper level. People love receiving mail. You know, we don't receive letters anymore. And it was so beautiful to just, you know, to get people's addresses and then now they're kind of expecting something and then to laugh about, you know, oh, I got your letter. And, you know, it was just so wonderful. So I just feel that I have this renewed appreciation for friendships and I just don't ever want to let them, I don't want to ever take them for granted again.
That's a beautiful practice. And I also am a big letter writer. So yes. and I'm glad you brought up depression as well, because I think that that is, you know, something that a lot of Americans experienced prior to the pandemic. And certainly we've been seeing that increase. And, you know, there's research around how depression impacts us in social settings and our ability to empathize with others and connect with others can really be dulled by depression. And so as we're coming out of this pandemic where a lot of us could have been experiencing, you know, moderate to severe depression, rebuilding those connections can feel hard and extra awkward. And I think, you know, remembering that when we're talking with friends old and new who might not seem as able to connect, to really hold compassion for them as well and not let go of friendships and connections, and just to keep being there and to do the same for ourselves. I think that's so important because none of us are coming out of this just able to be the same as we were.
Yeah, no one's coming out unscathed. We all have our scars and whatever those look like from this time. And that's a good point. It's so difficult to, you know, when you're reaching out to someone and they're always saying like, no, thanks, like not this time, you know, it's hard to not take that personal. And yet I've had friends tell me, you know, I'm going through something, just keep inviting me. You know, I'm probably going to say no 9 times out of 10, but please keep asking. And so, you know, that's a big place to recognize, like, I'm probably going to, you know, I'm going through something, just to admit that. But it's like, I think we all need to remember that of like, if you're inviting someone and they keep saying no, like, just keep inviting them or just ask them, like, is everything okay? Like, you know, do you want me to keep inviting you? And then, you know, I think it's so difficult to not take that personal. And yet I think that's just part of it. We just need to try to remember that people are going through stuff, whether they say it or know it or not.
Definitely.
What would you say, you know, what role has friendship played in your life over time? You mentioned, mm-hmm. you know, before the pandemic, how you would get together with groups. And when you and I had our pre-interview, you had mentioned it. If you could just tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that a lot, and thinking about why this is important to me. And my adult professional brain could go into, you know, all the statistics and all the, you know, I took the Science of Happiness course and kind of learned a lot about how important relationships are. And there are plenty of researchers doing a lot of good work in this area, like Vivek Murthy, who wrote the book Together. So, you know, I'm not a researcher. I'm not a friendship expert, but, you know, really getting underneath the surface answer, I was thinking about why is this important to me personally. So my early life was, you know, about as unstable as you could imagine. I grew up in a military family. We were moving all the time. I went to 7 elementary schools. My mother was an alcoholic and was largely absent, whether, you know, gone from the home or just in the home and drunk and unable to care for us kids. And there were 5 of us. I was the youngest of 5. My stepdad, who's in the military, was gone a lot working. And so I, as a survival mechanism, as a kid, sought out friendships. And that really was a matter of safety and survival for me. So I found friends who had families that would invite me in and share meals and bring me places with them. So that, you know, every time I moved, I had to sort of be this outgoing, you know, lovable person that could connect with folks and get brought into other families to give myself some safety and stability. And I was even thinking about when I was 12, it was a year after my mom had passed away. And I, you know, puberty, 12, going into middle school, like didn't have anyone teaching me about personal hygiene or what was going on with my body. And I had this friend, her name was, probably still is, Alex. And she taught me, it's embarrassing. Like I was dirty and she brought over, you remember those like Noxzema wipes, those little circle ones? She brought those over and like showed me how to use them. And I remember, this is embarrassing, but I think it's important to share like these vulnerable stories about why relationships are so important. But I remember using it on the back of my neck and it was just like covered in dirt. You know, I was just like walking around. I didn't know how to care for myself.
Right. You didn't have a guide like that.
Yeah. She taught me about periods and tampons and pads. And I mean, this was a girl that was my age that was teaching me these things. And so that's been true for me even into my adult years. When you think about my friendships now, I mean, my friends are really the ones who have taught me about trust and unconditional love and forgiveness and fun and laughter and all the things that make connection so valuable. That's friendship for me. Like I didn't get to have that with my family of origin, and we have different relationships now, but friends are really where I got all those things that often we kind of take for granted in family life that just aren't the case for a lot of us.
Sure. That story. Thank you so much. That was just so vulnerable. And thank you for your bravery to share that. And just like so heartbreaking and beautiful at the same time of like, friendships aren't these like frivolous, because when we were talking the other day, you had expressed, you know, some of that story, but thank you for going deeper into that, because the other day it was like clear that friends have provided you kind of like the family that you didn't have in a way. And, but now to hear it in that light, it's like, they weren't these frivolous things to like pass the day. It was like a critical connection that you weren't getting at home, even to the point with the story of like teaching you about hygiene, teaching you about your body. Like what a time to not have that guidance of an adolescent, you know, heading into tween and teen years. And so now it's like, just makes it even more clear how important friendships are to you. And like, you know, even through that, because we've also talked about resiliency in this time, and that it's like, that was a survival mechanism for you to be able to connect. And, but still that taught you how, you know, how to be comfortable with being uncomfortable and to find your group and to find multiple groups and to move. And every time, I'm sure that felt like, oh man, like losing, you know, leaving these friends behind. And yet I have to imagine it was like, okay, well, you know what to do. Like we've done this before and we can do it again. Gosh, that is a very beautiful story. Thank you again, Robin, for sharing that.
Yeah. Thanks for listening. Yeah. And you definitely named yeah, it was heartbreaking every time. And it, exactly like you said, okay, who am I going to be in this next place? And I think for me as an adult, learning about maintaining long-term friendships has been a shift. And now I have friends that I've had for 10, 12 years, and that has been so wonderful. And I consider them my family. But I was so used to the moving that being with people through difficult times was a new experience for me. And I think we don't talk about as a culture very much, like, what do you do when there's conflict in a friendship, or how do you maintain friendship? There's just not, there's more coming out now. Like Big Friendship is a book that came out recently. It's by the women who do the podcast Call Your Girlfriend. So there's more, but there's just, we don't talk about it very much.
Yeah. There's nuances in friendships of like, you don't really like break up with a friend, you know, you just kind of don't talk anymore, where it's like, if that was a relationship, like a romantic relationship, you would have a conversation, an awkward conversation of like, this isn't really working out with me, but there isn't that for friends. Or to just, you know, I remember having some issues with the friend and checking in with the therapist, and the therapist was like, this is your decision. Like, you have to decide how important this friendship is to you. And then you make a decision of how to move forward. And these are some things that you might want to say, but that was so helpful because, like you're saying, we just don't have those guides really.
Right. And I think, you know, like any relationship, sometimes we might hold a different view of the friendship or have different value in the friendship than the other person. And we have to let go if the other person's ready to let go, or if, you know, they don't see it. Yeah, we have to accept where they are, which is true in all relationships and in friendship. You know, for me as someone who's like, this is really my family, I've had to learn as an adult, well, my friends don't necessarily see me as family. And so I've shared holidays and things with friends, which has been wonderful. But also to recognize that many of my friends are partnered and they have kids and they're buying homes. And so that's a different relationship than being a single person who's like, all right, friends, you're kind of all I've got, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And moving to California, I'm from the East Coast, and moving to California, my family, like related family, is on the East Coast. And so when we first moved out here, it was just like, you know, the Friendsgiving, like the Friends Thanksgiving, you know, and over time I consider the friends I have here my family. It's just how I consider them. And so, yeah, it's a balance with friends. We don't have a lot of guides like that. And so maybe you will write the guide, Robin, because you have so much experience. You can write a guide for us.
We're going to take a quick commercial break to hear a public safety announcement on fire season.
This fire season, be prepared for smoky days. Find the latest air quality information at fire.airnow.gov and follow all health and safety guidelines. If you have asthma or heart disease, talk with your healthcare provider about making a safety plan.
One thing I was thinking about was I was watching, it was Dr. Vivek Murphy, who you mentioned, and that he was really breaking it down. It was quite fascinating, actually. And I'm sure I haven't had a chance to read his book. It's on the list of books that I intend to read. And he was saying how it's like, we human beings are social animals. And when we don't have, like, you think of, you know, another social group of animals, like wolves, you know, for example, it's like, or apes, whatever. It's like, if you were put out, like if you didn't make it in the group, it means something's wrong, you know, like you're sick or you didn't make it in the battle, you know, for the top dog or whatever, but something is wrong. Like now you're like, you know, you're out for a reason. And being out of the circle is dangerous. Like you need to have the group for safety, for food. So it's like, now you translate that. And so that's a stress response that initiates a stress response in the body to be alone. So with humans, it's like, you're still not, you know, you're probably physically safe, you know, you're fed, most likely, you know, not all the time, of course. And so it's like, but those stress hormones are coursing through your body, and now it almost makes you be more isolated because of those. You feel like something's wrong with you. You feel like people aren't connecting with you because there's a problem with you. So then that those feelings of isolation just continue. Feeling isolated makes you want to be alone, and being alone, you know, creates that circle. And it was just so fascinating to hear it from that regard. I'm curious if you have anything to add to that.
Right, exactly. I mean, yes. And I think that kind of comes back to the holding compassion for ourselves and other people, and like continuing to check on folks. And for me, you know, certainly, again, as mentioned, doing more and more solitary activities and thinking about this podcast, and like, I got to take my own advice, like just show up, just go to things. But it's hard when we start feeling like, oh, there's something wrong with me, you know? Even if it's just interacting with the checker at the grocery store, and actually making eye contact and exchanging pleasantries can just give that like little bit of a boost, or not, you know, if that person's not having a good day, and then it's right back to, oh, something's wrong with me. Right. And I guess that's, you know, this has been a big conversation with my therapist over the last year, is like, there is nothing wrong with you. And I think that is something we all need to be telling ourselves. There's nothing wrong with you. Like, whoever you are, you deserve to be accepted and loved and seen and valued.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great point of like, you know, and so let's transition into that of like, how do we, so we've talked about, you know, that there are real physical consequences and mental consequences to social isolation and loneliness. And so what can we do? How can we be less lonely and feel connected? And before we go into that conversation, let's also keep in mind, because we talked about this a little bit when you and I were chatting the other day, that introverts, you know, they feel most comfortable with, you know, either alone or with a, you know, very small group. So let's also keep the introverted crowd in mind, because they might say like, oh, I don't need any connection. So I'm curious, you know, let's talk about how to be more socially connected, and then how do people who are, you know, quote unquote introverted, how should they navigate this?
Right. Well, you know, what you just mentioned of kind of, you know, thinking about that isolation and how it circles back on itself, and with depression too, which you talked about a little earlier, one of the most powerful things that we can do when we're feeling isolated is to help someone else. And so that could just be calling and asking a friend how they're doing and listening to them, or it could be volunteering. And I know you've built some connections in your volunteer work. So would you be able to talk a bit about that?
Sure. I volunteer for a group that's called the Redwood Coast Village, and it's this wonderful community. Their whole mission is to keep people in their house. So I think the age is 55, it might be 50 or 55 years of age and up. And you have this yearly membership, and in exchange for that, you volunteer your time, and then you're able to receive volunteers. So I'm not a member, I'm just a volunteer. So what happens is that every so often I get an email that says, you know, are you able, if you're able to help this person out, you know, email back. And if I can't, if I'm not able to do it, I don't have to do anything. So it's pretty easy in that regard. And so the things I've done, I've helped people plant flowers or clean their house, you know, light house cleaning. And so it's what they say is like something you would ask a friend or a neighbor, like, I'm going to be away for a few days, can you feed my cat? Can you help me, you know, plant these flowers? And so it's really just been, I love that. And it's like, even these days, you know, we took a dip, of course, during the pandemic. I didn't sign up to be a driver. I just drive an older car. It's pretty low to the ground, so it's not really conducive to having people get in and out. So I just started up again, and sometimes it's just like, oh God, why did I sign up for this? Like, I don't have any time. You know, I'm taking an hour off of work to do this. Like, it just sounds really counterintuitive. And then it's instantly, I'm instantly, you know, in a better mood because people are always like, oh, great. Nice to see you again. You just get out of your mind. You get out of your own problems when you're helping others. And that's something that I have definitely felt when I do that. I really love that organization, Redwood Coast Village. You could look it up. We'll put it in the resources at the end of this episode.
Great. Thanks for sharing. Yeah. Yeah, hearing that reluctance before you go do a thing. I mean, that happens to me even with things that sound fun, you know, like a friend's having a get together or whatever. And I, you know, especially when I've been more isolated, I'm like, oh, I don't want to go do this thing. But then I'm always so glad I did. Like you said, like that rebuilds the connection, you instantly feel better. And so I think for me, that is kind of something I'm carrying with me as we're emerging from isolation is just show up. Just show up.
Just show up. That's a theme that I am realizing in my life of like, you know, in my job, in my role, mothering, like all the hats that I wear. Just like, I don't, you know, I recognize my special abilities, you know, I recognize my strengths. And yet I just feel some days that like anyone could have done any of the things, like any of my degrees or certifications or any of the things that I, you know, look to feel, you know, like whatever, like accolades or whatever the right word is. And honestly, it's just because I showed up for the class, I showed up for the test, I showed up to study, you know, and I just think that's so important. And like you're saying, I consider myself to be an extroverted person. I like talking to people. I don't really feel uncomfortable in, you know, a crowded room of strangers because I know I'm going to strike up a conversation with someone. I don't feel uncomfortable with that scenario. And yet everything that I sign up to do lately, you know, with a friend or I'm like, oh man, I hope that other person cancels. I just don't even want to do this thing. I don't even want to do this thing. Recently, I scheduled a walk with a friend of mine. We used to work together and we don't work together anymore. And so it was cold outside. And so I texted her and I said, it's really cold out. So hoping that she would say, you know, it is cold, like let's reschedule. And she just says, put on a jacket. So I started laughing and I was like, you're right. I'll just be over a little bit with my jacket. So you're right. Just recognizing that that's a feeling that we all feel, you know, I think it's common to feel, maybe we don't all feel that way. So what are some things that we can do? You mentioned just, you know, conversations, you know, with the clerk at the grocery store or, you know, what are some other things that we can do, Robin? We talked about some ideas. Let's talk more about those, please.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, I'm thinking about like connection light or like friendship light. So those micro moments of connection. And again, I think some more introverted folks are going to listen to some of this and be like, oh, I hate it when strangers talk to me. Like, no problem, you know, take what feels authentic and good to you and use it. Great. But if it's horrifying, like don't, like, you know, right. There was a study a few years ago on the subway in New York City. They asked people, how many of you would like to strike up a conversation with those around you? And it was like 80% of people. And the reason why people said is like, they did it is because they thought other people wouldn't talk to them. But 80% of people would have been happy to talk to someone on the subway, right? So most of us are walking around wanting to connect. So I'm that person, and I even do this when I visit the city and my friends who live in the city just laugh at me because I'm that person who's like, hi, hello, oh my gosh, dog is so cute.
That's great.
And some of my introverted friends have said they love going places with me because they are like, you're the buffer. You'll talk to everybody. So we don't have to, or you'll bring us into conversation. But yeah, I was walking at the marsh with a friend yesterday and I met the cutest dog. Shout out to Waffles. was so cute. It was this corgi mix, like adorable blue eyes, black and white brindle. Anyway, walking at the marsh. So I love meeting people's dogs. I strike up conversations with people at the grocery store. I think it's fun to connect with people over moments of being an awkward human. So like, you know, I don't know, you drop something or do something sort of embarrassing in public, like making eye contact instead of like hiding it, but like, well, that was a human moment, and like laughing about that. Right.
Right. Right. Yeah. We were, my fiance and I were just talking about how he was talking with someone and then one of them goes in for a fist bump. The other one goes in for a handshake, and it turned out to be this really awkward thing. And so I just was laughing, and it was just like, that is really funny. Like, all of us need to just see the humor in this and not run inside and, you know, kind of replay it and be like, oh my gosh, that was so embarrassing. Like, I'm so awkward. It's like, nope. Like, we're just doing our best from this really weird year that we just went through. And so things that you're saying, like, I know in some, we have at work, as you know, we have these quarterly themes that we focus on for internal employee wellness. And one of them was, or is, social connection. We do it at the beginning of the year. And so I remember when we came up with that, someone else had said, social connection, like, why would you choose that? And it's because of everything we're talking about here. So doing some research on like how to be more connected, you know, I like that phrasing of it, like social connection light, or, you know, we can go into that a little bit more, but it's like, you know, we talked about talking with just a random, oh, your dog is so cute, or, you know, that's a great color, or, you know, just like going without even talking to anyone at all, things like going to the beach. You know, if you're just alone or you're walking your pet, you know, you just go to the beach and now you look around without even, you know, someone can be a mile away, but now you have this connection because that, without knowing anything about that person, you know that they also like the beach because they're at the beach, you know, or like the dog park or something, like going to, you know, you're bringing your pet, or, you know, what are other some things like that? You know, we talked about the street art festival coming up in Eureka. We're helping planning a run in November. So if you could just talk a little bit more about, we can talk.
Yeah,
about
absolutely. Yeah. And if it's okay, I kind of want to share a story and then get into more ideas.
Great.
So back in my early 20s, I spent a summer working front desk at a lodge in Alaska. And there were a lot of tour groups that came through. And there was a man that came one time down to the front desk, and he was from Russia, and he asked for a pen and paper, and he drew something, turned around, and he said, how do you say this? And it was a porcupine. So I told him how to say porcupine, and he was so excited to share with me that he had seen a porcupine. And I could tell he was traveling alone. I just kind of like got the sense, like, this guy's kind of lonely. And he was so excited to like share, I saw this porcupine. And he taught me how to say porcupine in Russian, which is Jacobras. So I, anyway, collected how to say porcupine, which I can now say in 7 languages, which is the fun school party trick. But was like a micro moment of connection that was meaningful to me. Maybe now it's more meaningful to me than it was to him. But
and then think of that, like you're sharing the story now, you remembered the word, you learned it in other languages. It's like that one moment, however long that moment lasted, you know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever. It's like, that's given you so much joy to recall this story. And that's as simple as things need to be sometimes.
Right. And who knows, maybe one day I'll have to run from like a herd of porcupine in Germany. Yell Stachelschwein. I don't know.
Yeah, but you'll be able to warn the villages.
But so thinking about, you know, kind of stepping up from that connection light to like the next step, I think about classes, like places that you can go back and see the same people. So, you know, for me, that's yoga. And it's the same people there. And even after 2 years away, coming back to my yoga studio, people would say, I haven't seen you in such a long time. Like they remembered me, right? Yeah. And I remembered them. And that was so great. And it's not like, you know, some of those folks I've built, you know, outside of yoga friendships with, but some of them, I don't even know their name.
Right.
But there's somebody who's expecting to see me and worried if I'm not there. Yeah. Right. So for some people that could be like a book club or, you know, like a knitting or crochet group, like finding
right. any group. Class that you, we have so many options for that. There's like the Ollie classes. There's like, you know, now that things are opening up, it's like, you know, looking at your library, looking at the Lost Coast Journal, the North or Lost Coast Outpost, the North Coast Journal. It's like looking at, like at the coffee shop or whatever, you know, there's like the flyers and the handbills and stuff just to see what's of interest to you. That's what I always think too, of like, if you do something that's interesting to you, then you're going to win regardless if you connect with anyone there, you're going to take something out of that. You're not, you know, trying to trick anybody. You're getting something out of it. And if you strike up a conversation, great. And if you don't, you're still going to have that time for yourself and learn something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then thinking about more concrete examples, like you mentioned the Eureka Street Art Festival coming up in early to mid August. And then Project Eureka, which we'll also share in the show notes, they're doing different volunteer events around Eureka, around, you know, beautifying different plots, planning things, cleaning up, you know, areas of Eureka, which is great to see. You know, in reference to our earlier conversation, talking about resilience, thinking about CASA of Humboldt or Big Brothers, Big Sister. So, playing a role in the life of a youth, and being that kind of a source of resilience for people. We know that, children who have one person, just one, who believes in them and, is a consistent source of support for them is hugely impactful in terms of, you know, long-term health outcomes.
Also to, and I love those examples, and also to interject that our nonprofits, you don't have to, if you're not comfortable with one-on-one interactions, talking with someone, they still need so many things in the background. Like maybe you're great at spreadsheets and that's the way you want to contribute, or something with the website. You know, you're still volunteering for that organization. You're still making an impact, you know, like you're saying with CASA, in a child's life or Big Brother, Big Sister, and you're in the background. Like that's the team. It's not always the face-to-face that's needed. I mean, that is needed. And this background support is also needed. So think of your strengths and then, you know, what would you want to do with those? And, you know, that's another avenue to be part of an organization too.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate you mentioning that. Yeah. And then we, are planning something new here. Our coworker Irina Estes is partnering with my friend Ella, whose last name I don't know, but who works over at the VA, and we're doing a collaboration on putting together a fun run in mid-November around Veterans Day. So really excited about that, and those details will be available soon. They're firming up dates and times and everything, but that's really exciting.
We're very excited. And just to give Irina a shout out, I love that lady for a million reasons. And this podcast is a brainchild of Irina. She just said it one day, you know, years, however long ago, saying, you know, it'd be great if we had a podcast to promote, you know, getting your mammogram and pap smear and, you know, colorectal cancer screening prevention. And so then it's like, that's the beauty of our organization, is like someone has an idea and then we make it work. And so same with this fun run. And so Irina is definitely in the background. She's one of the producers, but she didn't really feel comfortable being the host or, you know, having her voice be on the podcast. And yet she's such a critical part of so many things that we do. So just to give Irina a shout out.
Yeah, she is incredible. So we've talked about, I'm thinking about steps of friendship. We've talked about micro moments of connection. We've talked about volunteering or large community events. And then I think about like developing longer term friendships or like more like quality one-on-one time with friendships. So, you know, for some of us, it's rekindling friendships with folks we haven't seen in person since before the pandemic or things like that. But if you're looking to make new friends, you're new in a place, like I know some folks have been using Bumble BFF to meet folks. And I think, again, like going to classes and things, trying new things with someone is a great way to build connection. Asking for help is actually a great way to build connection with someone, which I know for a lot of us is hard.
That's a great idea. So, okay, so I'm taking a class and I see this person and we're laughing and we seem to have a good connection. What are the words to use to now further this? You know, because I think that's where people get tripped up, is like they don't want to seem weird or like I'm stalking you. You know, they don't want to get into this like, you know, pigeonhole in a way. So how do you, since you're like an expert at friend making, how do we do it, Robin?
Yeah, but I think this is different than it was 10 years ago for me too. You know, in my early to mid 20s, I had this confidence that like I kind of miss, you know, like I was making a fool of myself a lot, but I was like, of course everyone wants to be my friend.
Yes.
You know? but so yeah, I think doing a lot of connecting for me, like, oh, you know, so-and-so has always wanted to try this. So like I would invite them to try that, or I knew people who were doing those things. But I, you know, recently met someone in my yoga class who was new to the area, and we were just chatting before class. They also happened to be in healthcare and had just moved here. And so I think, you know, the art of question asking, I think, is so valuable.
Right.
And it's something we can all improve. So asking, you know, asking like, oh, you just moved here. Where did you move from? You know, how are you liking it? What do you, you know, just asking questions and giving people room to talk. And then that person actually asked me, you know, oh, do you want to exchange numbers and like go on a walk sometime or something like that? I think that like that is a gift we can give to people who are new in an area. I think it's very easy to become comfortable with the friends that we have. And it's hard to maintain a lot of friendships.
Right.
But when you're new somewhere, man, that's lonely. It's so lonely. And so, you know, offering an invitation to someone to come meet other friends, to join in things. And I think that that is a good way, you know, moving it along. If you already have something planned, inviting someone to join you for that is great. And then I think, like you mentioned early on, like not taking things personally. If someone's like, no, thanks, like, okay, that's not about me.
Like, yeah, you have no idea what's going on with that person, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
So, yeah, I think of like when you're saying like questions, you know, the open-ended questions, something that you're not going to get a yes or no answer to. So how was your day? Fine. You know, not an open-ended question, but I love this question. What kind of things have you done today so far? And people are, whenever I ask that, people's eyes kind of light up and they say, oh, like that's a different type of question for them. And so now it's like, you might think like nothing, but really it's like, you know, yesterday I picked cherries, like I made a pie, like, you know, but really when I look back at it, it's like, oh, you know, we just kind of did regular things, you know, nothing, you know, that's like the standard response. But when you ask for specifics, then it's just a different way of answering and asking. The other thing is like genuinely being interested in what they're saying. You're not just asking to say something, you know, and that whole quote about like, people don't remember what you say, they remember how you make them feel. And so when you're genuinely interested in someone, the question doesn't even matter, you know, it's like, but the feeling, if I'm rushing you or I'm looking at my phone or like looking around, it's like, that's, you know, I'm giving you the impression that I don't care. So that really does make a big difference too.
Right. And I think you could teach a master class in asking questions and expressing interest.
So. Oh, thanks.
Thank you.
Okay. So great. I hope I didn't get us too derailed on that. So we've got the micro moments. If you want to recap and see if there's anything left for us to cover.
Yeah. We talked about kind of micro moments, those you know, there are great charts around like the friends we have in our inner circle and then the number we can maintain in there. And then there's like the secondary circle, like who would you invite to a party? And then that third circle, that's where I kind of put those micro moments. And those are really important to our health as well. And I think people don't realize that it's not just your close friendships that impact your well-being. So those micro moments, connecting with someone at the grocery store, coffee shop, whatever. Then, you know, larger community events. We talked about that. And then, yeah, thinking about those one-on-one connections, going to a class, you know, reaching out to someone, inviting them, you know, inviting them to something. And I think that's one of my biggest things over time that I've heard people say, it's like, no one invites me to something. Well, we're all just sitting around waiting for someone to invite us. Like, just be the one to do the inviting.
Right. It sounds so cheesy, but the best way to have a friend is to be a friend and to kind of get in lost into that of like, well, I'm always the one that's inviting. And it's like, you know, so then, you know, reading between the lines of like, well, nobody's inviting me. And it's like, well, get over it. And if you want to be around, you know, it's back to what my therapist had said, like, it's who is it most important to you? You know, it's most important to me to be out with someone. So it's like, if I'm the one inviting, then I'm the one inviting, you know, that's fine.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. And then, so that's like the building of friends, and then thank your friends. You know, I love your story of writing letters and the experience you had of like realizing how important those friends are. And I had the same, and I do every time I reflect on how friends have played such an important role in my life. It's like, thank your friends. Let people know that they're important to you. I think that that's something we can all do better in our relationships is letting people know that they're important and we appreciate them.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's so right on. And, you know, I am a big proponent of saying I love you to my friends, and not all of them are comfortable with that because the English language, we've just got the one phrase, I love you. And so in English language, it implies romantic love, you know, but it's like other languages have like love for nature, love for this cup of coffee, love for the feel of my bed, you know? And so it's like, I'm not afraid of saying I love you. And when someone feels uncomfortable with it, you know, I kind of just laugh it off. And then it's just kind of like, but I've let them know, you know, they know where they stand with me. And so I like that, you know, thank you. Thank you for being in my life. You know, thank you for being such a good friend. Thank you for being there when I needed to talk to someone, whatever. That's as simple as it needs to be.
Simple. Right. Right. Yeah. And let, I mean, I love what you just said too about some people are uncomfortable with that. Like, let people be, you know, if in all of those areas, if I'm out and I say hi to someone and they don't look at me, I'm like, oh, clearly they don't want to talk to me. Like, that's fine. Like, don't push it. Like, fine. Hey, I'm trying to build community.
Right.
Let it go. And like, you know, with closer friends, if they're not comfortable with something, like, let it go, let people be. So yeah, like we're all different. And, yeah. And I thought of my grandpa when you said that, because he is just this incredible, like 94-year-old, you know, just wonderful man, but he won't say I love you. So I'll, you know, I say I love you, grandpa, and he'll say, well, okay then. Or okay. No, all right, thanks anyway, you know.
That's great. And that probably makes it, you know, maybe it makes him feel uncomfortable, but on some level he's gotta hear it and appreciate it, you know.
Right. I hope so. Yeah, because I keep saying it, you know, I want to make sure he knows.
Yeah, that's awesome. One other thing I was thinking of is that I was talking with someone, it's a story that I heard in grade school about this farmer who his plot of land wasn't producing anything. And so he went to whoever to ask how to, you know, make things better. And so this person gave him this little box of sand and said, you know, just go around to the four corners of your field and tap a little sand on each corner, and, you know, and that's all you need. So he was like, that sounds ridiculous. And so what started to happen is that every day when he did that, he would connect with his neighbors at the four corners of his field, and he would tell them what he was doing. And so now he's exchanging his problems. The neighbors are giving him ideas of how to cultivate, you know, and enrich the soil. And so lo and behold, you know, with this tapping of the sand, quote unquote, like, you know, things start to flourish and he's developing his community and these connections and everything's growing. And so clearly, you know, it's not about the sand, it's about the connections and the ideas. And so it just made me think of like, there was some glass, broken glass on the road the other day. And so I keep griping about it. Like, who's going to clean up this glass? You know? So I call this one group. It's not their job. I call this other group. They're out of, you know, it's Friday. They close the office on Thursday. So I start laughing because my daughter's like, just you do it. And my first response is like, I'm not doing it. Like, it's not, I don't, you know, I don't get paid for that. Like, I'm not doing it. But every day I'm aggravated by this stupid glass in the road. So yesterday I go out with a broom and I'm sweeping it. And so, you know, I just have a laugh with the neighbor who's like giving me kind of like a thumbs up, like, thanks for doing that. And it's like, as silly as that, like, do something in your community. Because, you know, as awkward as that felt for me to walk down the street with this stupid push broom, it's like, you know, that's the type of person I am. I don't really care. You know, I look silly and I don't, and I'm fine with it, you know, but I had a laugh with the neighbor. It's like, now we have a different type of connection, you know? And so it's like, think of those goofy things around your neighborhood that could better the space. You know, I've often thought about having, it was before the pandemic, just inviting the neighborhood to a potluck, you know, so we can just get together. And I'm going to do that sometime, one of these years, probably next year. But it's like, you know, thinking of things like that in your community to just make your place in the world a little smaller, I guess, a little closer.
Thank you for cleaning up the glass in the road.
Thank you.
And I love that. Like, you know, that one of the things that can, I could just nerd out on this all day, but one of the things that contributes to the health of a community is actually our perception of safety. So our perception of safety has a greater impact on our well-being than the actual safety of the neighborhood. And so when we know our neighbors, or if you even think about like neighborhood watch, like more so than being sort of like a vigilante group, it's about knowing your neighbors and knowing the resources your neighbor has and knowing who to call if something happens. Like, that creates community, that creates safety, that creates resilience. And so whether it's cleaning up the grass or some of the work that Cooperation Humboldt is doing with the food not lawns, or they've got the box it, like the food boxes for things, like they're doing a lot of great work around building community resilience.
It's beautiful. We do have a lot of little gems, and that's why we started this podcast, is to shine a light on the good. And this is, we came up with a lot of, I appreciate your insight and research and just who you are. I'm so thankful that you joined our group, Robin. It's just like, it from day one, it just blows me away that you've only been there a year, because all the contributions that you have made to our group and to the people that you call and reach out to, it's just, I'm very thankful for you, for who you are and for joining our group. So thank you. And thank you for this lovely conversation today. I really think this is just giving people hands-on actual ideas.
Yeah. Thank you, Juliet. I appreciate you. I appreciate you appreciating me, and I really appreciate you. And anytime I get to hear you talk about the conversations you're having in wellness, I'm so inspired by the way you're able to ask questions, the way you're able to highlight people's strengths. It has helped me be a better friend. So thank you.
You're welcome. And thank you.
On our next episode, I talk with Jenna Katsos, who is one of the organizers for the Eureka Street Art Festival and Project Eureka. Both are great opportunities to get out and meet new people. The Priority Care Center is located on Harrison Ave in Eureka, and we provide primary care, mental health counseling, care coordination, wellness coaching to people with the following insurance types: Anthem PPO, Blue Shield HMO, Anthem Blue Cross HMO, and Blue Lake Rancheria. Thank you for listening to Humboldt HealthCast, brought to you ad-free by the Humboldt Independent Practice Association. Our host is me, Juliet Ferry. Our editor is Joseph Burkett. Original music produced by Justin Locke. Our producers are Irina Estes, Jessica Osborne-Staffness, Vanessa Verdiak, and Robin Baker. Special thanks to Rosemary Denouden for making this project possible. Please share, subscribe, like, and comment. We are always looking to improve and welcome your feedback. You can find us on Facebook on the Priority Care Center page and on Instagram at PCC School-Based Health Center. Be part of the good, Humboldt.